I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. There is a verse in Psalm 33, verse 12, that says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." You know, we spend a lot of time in the Old Testament talking about God's chosen people, the Jewish people. God had chose them to be bearers of his news, of who he was. He wanted them to share with the world who this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. And we, too, are called to do the same thing. The scriptures encourage a country to be dedicated to the Lord. What's wrong with that? And yet there are some today that will use this fallacy that we need to separate our faith from what goes on in politics or what goes on in the country. You can't separate the two, because it's our faith in Jesus Christ and the moral principles of Scripture that guide what we do in everything. It should be, not just what we do on Sunday morning. You know, and sometimes we're wired that way. On Sunday morning, I'm going to be a good Christian, and on Monday, I'm going to do whatever I want. That's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to be who he's called us to be 24/7, 7 days a week. The Israelites were encouraged to be a part of a country that was dedicated to what God wanted for them. The texts that were read this morning go right along with the title of the message. Either we do it or we lose it. Either we dedicate ourselves as the church, as those who are followers of God, who love our Lord with all of our hearts, who believe in what God's word teaches, either we have to get down on our own needs first and foremost and repent of our own sin and turn from our own evil ways, or we're not going to hear from heaven. We're not going to hear from God. Sometimes I wonder if we aren't living a little bit on the fumes of the past, and haven't reestablished ourselves as a country that wants to do what God wants us to do. In 1 Timothy 2, it indicates to us, this is the New Testament, not the old. It says, "I urge you then, as I just shared with you," listen to it again, "that prayers, intercessions, requests, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." You know, that's what God wants. That's what God wants for our own country. That's why we had, even at the very beginning, a constitution that would put guardrails there so that we could be a country that would keep this at the foremost of our minds and our hearts. But what do? History repeats itself, doesn't it? Look at the Old Testament. Israel, the chosen people of God, were not doing a lot of what God wanted them to do. They were doing the same horrendous things that all the other countries around them were doing. And what did God do? Well, he chastised them. And they would turn back to him. He'd say, "Okay, I relent." And he'd give them a season of prosperity and a season of goodness. And there might have been a king or two that was doing the good and the righteous thing. And then what happened over time? They went away from the Lord again. The same thing happened over and over and over again. The northern kingdom, when it was split, was doing a lot worse than the southern kingdom was. Because if you look at all the lists of the kings that were serving towards the latter part of that reign, evil king, evil king, evil king, there was not very many, hardly any good kings. And they were exiled. And then he did the same thing with the southern kingdom. At least they had a few good kings scattered within there during their time, and they would turn back. And then, but is that not the exact same thing that seems to be happening in our own country? And I have to say, really, quite honestly, where it made your fault. Church, believers, why haven't we done something like this earlier? This whole rededication, rededicating our country to God. Why didn't we do this earlier? Why wasn't this done a long time ago? I think part of it is we just kind of lost our way. And you know, we as Christians oftentimes, our response to what goes on in the world is just live and let live. I'm going to do my own thing. I want to make sure I'm living my life kind of the way I'm supposed to. And just let everything go. I believe we are called to hold ourselves, first of all, accountable for the way we live our lives, what we're doing. Are we helping with the demise of our country, or are we helping with the resurgence of our country? You see, sinful man eventually takes over what God establishes and ruins it. It's the nature of humanity, isn't it? There's never been a country that has lasted for millennia. Why? Some of them get started on the right foot, like the Jews, Israel. And then they wander off the path. We've been able to stick with it for quite a long time, but I believe with all my heart we've wandered off the path. We aren't doing what God wants us to do. You can see by the way we act with each other in the world out there. It seems there's a lot of anger. Why can't we in today's world agree to disagree on some things? Why can't I sit down with someone who might be in the opposite side of the fence as I am politically, and just sit and have a conversation and a discussion about what we disagree on? Yes, I come from a more conservative viewpoint, but that doesn't mean I don't love those who disagree with me. We say we want to hear from God, but we want to hear from God without doing what God has asked us to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 and following, that's indeed what was going on in this text when Solomon had just talked about the dedication of the temple and what he was going to do and all these kinds of things, and then the Lord appears to Solomon and says what he says. After he had finished the work of the temple, after he'd finished the work of the palace, and you can already see it's a little lopsided here anyway. You know why? Take more time to build the palace than it did the temple. I can see even in the beginning of this, something's not quite right. Something's a little off kilter. More concerned about my stuff than I am about God's stuff. And so the Lord appears to Solomon and shares with him, I've heard your prayer. I've listened to your prayer. And I've chosen this place for the temple. And in a symbolic kind of way, this temple was symbolic of God's presence right there. Now, we know in the New Testament, his presence is in our heart because our hearts are the holy temple of God. But here we are, and he's saying, you know, when I shut up the heavens, there's no rain, or I command locusts to devour the land, or I send plagues among my people, and you're in deep doo-doo. He didn't say that. Here's what you got to do. You're wandering away from me. I'm trying to get your attention, and here's what I want you to do. If you call, if my people, that is those who call upon him, if we will humble ourselves and pray, seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then, only then will I hear from heaven. Now, folks, that text does not apply to all 350 million or however many people that we have here in our country and more. He's talking talking to you and me. He's talking to the church. He was talking to them back then, but I believe he's talking to us, the church of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, it needs to start with you. Because you know what? If it starts with you, this country will change. That's the power of what God will do in a country where the people are truly devoted to him. God will bring about a change. Now, we could throw our hands in the air, and you know what? If the Lord was to come back, that's fine with me too. I'm done with all the pain and all the other stuff. There'll be no more sorrow, no more tears. If the Lord comes back and takes me home, hallelujah. But if he does not, I think God is calling us to do what we can to change what's going on in this country for his glorious purposes, not our own. Not my agenda, not any president's agenda, not the Congress's agenda, not the judicial system's agenda, but God's agenda. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. And it starts with you and me. Number one, the church has to stop bickering and be united in this one thing. We are going to pray that we are going to change ourselves so that we can lift our voices up to you in a holy kind of way and say, God, you're changing me. Now, God, change our country for your glory, not for mine. God chose Israel, and I think God chose us. I think in our Constitution, it just oozes with things that have been put in place so that our country would indeed stick to the most important things. And we went way off track. Stick to our Christian heritage. And part of that Christian heritage is the freedom to worship. And if you don't want to worship my God, that's okay. You can do that. I'll still love you. I'll still care about you. But I'm worshiping the God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to raise again. So does he hear us? Well, are we willing to hear what he has to say? Am I willing to hear what he has to say to me? Do I need to ask, or am I going to ask him without repentance? No, I'm going to ask him with repentance. Am I going to ask him without willing to be corrected? No, I need to ask him being willing to be corrected. Am I going to ask him without recognizing that I've played a role in our demise? Does he hear us? I believe he hears us when we're honest with ourselves. And I believe God will respond based on our response. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face. What's it mean to seek his face? It means to be totally intent on what God wants, not what I want. And even in the church, I think we get this wrong. There's a certain segment in the church that talks about the prosperity gospel. Boy, if you just do it right, then he's going to prosper you, and you're going to have big bucks, and all these wonderful things are going to happen to you. You know what that's all about? Me! No, that's wrong. It should always be about him. It should always be about him and others. So how do we show that we love God? By the way, we show God's love to others as well. He will respond based on our response. When we turn from our own wickedness, then he will forgive. And you know what? When he forgives us, what is the ultimate result of that? He will heal our land. Well, talk about fruit from what we need to do. So I'm asking us this morning to be really serious about ourselves, really serious about where we're at in our relationship with God, to be really serious about how we have contributed to the demise of our country, to say instead, you know, I want to be a part of the solution. And he laid it right out very easily for us. If you want to be a part of the solution, that starts with you and it starts with me. Then he'll heal our land. He'll hear our prayers. He'll respond to our needs. And if we don't, I'll end with this. If we don't, we lose. our response today is not a one-time response. It's not a say yes to something and go about whatever we were doing before. He says, if you turn away, here's what's going to happen. And he laid it right out in 2 Chronicles. Laid it right out there. I will, and this is what he said to Israel, I'll uproot Israel from my land. What did he do? He uprooted Israel from their land, and they went into exile. We're spoiled as a country. And we are living off the fumes of the blessings of past generations that did want to serve God and did want to do what God wanted them to do, did want to honor God's word, and we're living on those fumes. We need to turn back to Him. We need to pledge to live justly and rightly, abide by God's word, obey and listen to His word. It's a pledge to put God on the throne of our heart and put God on the throne of our country. Otherwise, our country's lost. Otherwise, Satan wins, and there's no one to blame but ourselves. If you think the church can't do this, think of Gideon and 300 people. And he started out with tens of thousands. That I think I can do pretty good with tens of thousands. What did God do? Nah. He says, no, you ain't going to do it with that many. Bunch of them left. Then he weeded out a bunch more and he says, we're going to do it with 300. So what I'm saying to you this morning, God wants to do it with all those of us who are willing to say, God, it starts with me. I'm going to do what I can to clean my life up in such a way that I'm bringing honor to you and glory to you. Oh God, I know I blow it many times, but you know what? God is faithful and just to forgive us all our sin if we confess our sin. He says that. And so, don't exclude yourself. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what's going on right now in your life, you start right now, right today, and say, God, right today, I'm going to start today. And I'm going to do whatever I can to bring honor and glory and praise to you in my life and in my neighborhood. And you'll be amazed what God can do. So I pledge this morning, I want us to rededicate our country to Him. 250 years, that's one quarter of a millennia. We've been blessed for 250 years. And I want God to work powerfully in our country today in such a way that the whole world sees that who's at the helm of that country? God's at the helm. And it can affect every other country in the world. Because I think it did a while ago. When you looked at how benevolent we as a country had been to all these other countries, when we would give to them and give to them, we still do it, give to them and give to them, but a lot of times what we give now is there's a lot of crap going on, there's a lot of fraud going on, but we were such a benevolent country, such a benevolent country. Why? Not because we thought we're just going to be a benevolent country. I believe it was because we were a country that was established under God. And because God blessed us, we were to be a blessing to everybody else. And God has still blessed us, but we're going to lose that blessing if we don't turn to Him. So folks, let's turn to Him. Let's pray. God, I thank You that You are so patient with us. How many times we as individuals have fallen away from You, we've gone our own way, we sought our own stuff, we're looking for whatever it is that's going to make me feel better about life and all that other stuff. And we forgot about You. God, if we seek You first, Your righteousness first, Matthew tells us, then all these other things will be added unto us. Help us to seek You first. Help us to seek You first. And pray for our country. Pray for our leaders, whether we're in agreement or disagreement. We pray for our leaders. We pray for all those who serve and ask that You would do a work in them so that they can do a work that helps us in Your name. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.